Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would be near us tonight. Please be near us through your word, through Christ and through his spirit. Please be changing us tonight. Please be making us people who are more like Christ by the work of your spirit. And please help us to long to be like Christ as we come to him in your word. And may you be doing a great work and change. We pray this for Christ's sake, Lord. Amen. Okay, so my first question for you this evening, out of these three things, out of preaching, out of miracles, out of having conversations, which do you think Jesus spent the most time in his ministry doing? Now, I'm going to get a show of hands. Which one of those three do you think? Do you think Jesus spent most of his time out of those three preaching? Oh, Jeremy's undecided. Most of the time doing miracles? A couple? Most of the time having conversations. Okay. People are on the ball. I haven't done the big data, but from a small sample, Mark's Gospel chapters 7 through 11. In those chapters there are 26 scenes. It's kind of like a DVD menu, just flicking from one to the next. They're very quick, short and sharp scenes. And if you look through them, what you actually see is in those 26, you get four of them are Jesus preaching to crowds, doing public ministry. Four of them are him doing miracles. And 18 out of the 26 are him talking to people, having conversations with people. He's talking, as we know, about the kingdom of God. He's answering their questions. He's asking them what they love. He's asking them what they're living for. It seems like it doesn't surprise you very much. Most of you were on the case with that one. But I think for some of us, it might surprise us that he spends so much of his time actually just chatting with people. The Lord Jesus, God with us, spent so much of his ministry having a conversation with one person or a couple of people. And if that seems less impressive or less urgent than preaching or miracles, then maybe it's worth noting Jesus certainly didn't think so. Jesus thought it was worth taking the time, taking the energy to stop, to see someone, to listen well, to genuinely care for them, to ask thoughtful questions, to speak the truth in love. Jesus thought that was vital to his ministry. And what's good for Jesus is good for Jesus' body, us, the church. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this evening, the call to be like Christ in this way as his body, how important it is to be speaking the truth in love into one another's lives, speaking the truth of the gospel and speaking the love of the gospel into one another's lives. As we just read, we're going to be looking at that from Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians 4, we actually see three ways that we hear about this ministry happening, ministry of the Word of God. These three ways are private ministry, public ministry, and something I'm going to be calling one anothering. We're going to be looking at the first two, public and private, pretty quickly, spending most of our time looking at one anothering. But first up, public ministry. Before we even get into that, though, when you actually think of that word ministry, what images come to your mind? Because I imagine for a lot of you, the first thing you picture is one individual talking to a lot of people, one person up the front or one person in a crowd. Like the passage put its finger on, people like evangelists or pastors or teachers. But the surprising thing in this passage, I don't know if you actually picked it up, but what does the passage actually say that these people do? It doesn't just say they build up the body. It says that God has given us these leaders in public ministry to what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. So did you hear that? It doesn't actually say pastors and teachers, they're just here to build us up. They're actually to build us up in our ministry, for every one of us. And although already we're seeing, as you can see there, ministry, it's not actually just one person, not just an individual. In Ephesians 4, when it says ministry, it's actually talking about something a lot broader, a lot wider for all of us. Because whether you really like it or not, Ephesians 4 is saying to us that if you trust your life to Christ, if you do trust and believe in the gospel, then you're involved in the ministry of the word. If you're a Christian, then your life is one of ministry. And while someone up the front, they can, you know, of course, say helpful things, God can use that in powerful ways. I think we've all had experiences where a talk up the front has kind of pulled us apart and put us back together and made us better because of that experience, and God's used that greatly. But you're kind of experiencing this in real time right now. There's also a limitation to public ministry. Because in this kind of ministry, nothing really has your name on it. Nothing is really personal. The applications are shooting wide. I'm kind of hoping the Holy Spirit will do the work in your hearts to put those specific applications about your family or your anxiety or your bitterness for you personally. And so the reality is in Ephesians 4 that we actually need more than just public ministry. We actually need more than just one person doing the whole load for us. We need the truth to land for us. We need it to land for us personally. So that's where we go to the second one, private ministry as well. Now, I don't know if you've ever actually called it that, but things like studying the Bible, reading the Bible, devotions, prayer time, journaling, taking the time to apply God's word to your life, it's another kind of ministry that we do need to grow up in Christ. And we've already seen the huge power of this earlier in this series when we've looked at reading God's word and prayer, how important those are to grow us in Christ. And Ephesians 4, it doesn't actually name this one specifically, but when we read about this, it actually sounds very similar to what happens in that process where it says, "The old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires is being renewed in the spirit of your minds, and we're putting on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth." Now, it doesn't name any particular private ministry in that, but it is a key way that we actually do that we actually become renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we actually put on the new self in righteousness and purity of truth. Where there is that time between just us and God, creating the space in our lives to hear the word of God and actually let it seep into the particulars of our life, to hear God's correction, to take off our old selves, to hear God's call to clothe ourselves with Christ, to put on the new self, to think things like how I could speak graciously to that person where I failed to, or to think how I could actually be generous to that person in need, how we can actually set our minds and hearts on Christ in every moment of life. But the main one in Ephesians 4, the one that everything seems to be gunning for, is this third category of one anothering. It's the thing that all these public ministries and private ministries seem to be pointing us towards, saying they aren't actually supposed to be an end in themselves. They're actually supposed to lead us to one anothering. And we see that in verses 15 and 16 where it says this, "Speaking the truth in love, let us grow up in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part." Now, I've heard this kind of idea a few times. I wonder if you've heard it. Someone saying to you, if people would just sit under good preaching and learn to read the Bible every day for themselves, their Christian life, it'll just sort itself out. Now, I don't know if you've heard that. I don't know what you think about that. And I think, you know, we have to acknowledge there is a bit of truth in that. But if we trust Ephesians 4, it's saying to us, no, actually, they're not supposed to be the goal. If we are listening to teaching, if we are reading our own Bibles, that's actually supposed to play out in us one anothering, in us speaking the truth in love into one another's lives. It's saying to us, you can actually tell if the public ministry and private ministry are doing anything by how much you speak the truth in love into others' lives. And that's Ephesians 4. That's the vision. It's saying, as we speak the truth in love together, that's actually how we grow up. Now, another thing you may have heard, a conversation like this after church, someone saying, "Boy, that was a really convicting talk, wasn't it?" Someone else saying, "Yeah, there's just so many things to think about in that talk. So it's pretty cold, isn't it?" there's a kind of disconnect there, isn't there? There's so many things that the Spirit has put on people's hearts, but somehow it doesn't actually tease itself out in conversation. There's something wrong with that picture. If we come to think that biblical truth is great for speaking to crowds, for hundreds of people at a time, or is great for me personally when I'm doing my own devotion, but isn't appropriate to talk about in conversation, then there's something wrong there. Because as appealing as it can be to, you know, think that someone can just get up with a double-barrel shotgun of God's word and shoot it out, and everyone can somehow in that process be powerfully enough changed, that's actually not how God's made us. God's made us to walk side by side for the truth to work itself out in close relationship, in close friendships. Because we can listen to a talk, we can hear 10 different ways that something in our life isn't good and is hurting us, and we can sit and think, yes, I agree with that at every point. But if you're anything like me, you'll get up after the talk, walk out, and unless you actually chat to someone about that, you probably won't change. But if someone we love comes up to us, we have even a 5-minute conversation with them about what struck us in God's word and what's been going on in our life, they listen and gently pray for us. There's another dimension that's actually at work there, because that's how God's designed us to live. In the light, where the truth is connecting with the particulars of our life in conversation with other people. The dots are connecting from the truth to our lives, to our brothers and sisters. Not just in theory, not just somewhere in the theological cloud up in the heavens. And I can say firsthand that at Bible college, you learn many ways to understand the Bible well, to stay away from error in understanding the Bible, which is incredibly important. But if you think about ministry, what does most of ministry involve? It involves having conversations with people who are often struggling. People who are struggling physically or emotionally or spiritually. And when you're in those conversations, the truth kind of has to actually move. It can't be a static thing. It actually has to speak into the situation in real time. They might be looking for encouragement. They might be living in the wrong direction. They might just need quiet love and comfort. They might actually need all three. But as we grow up, we get a sense of what actually wise words look like in conversations, in situations, to people. We learn how to listen well. We learn how we can give people our full attention, which is becoming a rare blessing in itself. We can ask the right questions. We can get a sense of actually what's going on with someone. And a big part of one anothering is actually just growing up in wisdom, relating to lots of different kinds of people, sometimes messing up a conversation, actually being a little bit insensitive, not knowing how to deal with their emotions, their fine china as they hand them to you, but learning from that and thinking, repenting, asking God, and actually over time figuring out what wise words might look like. It means having a loving curiosity about other people. It means speaking helpful words. It means knowing how the realities of the gospel are actually alive and present to people wherever they are, and knowing how to say them. It means knowing when to speak and when to hold back. It means knowing when people might be veering a little bit off course, when they might actually have blind spots, where there might be griefs that they actually haven't dealt with. How the truth of the gospel actually changes lives, not in the abstract, but in reality. And this is all a part of growing up in Christ, getting how people work, getting how the truth works in people, getting how the endlessly rich realities of the gospel speak into every part of our lives. Speaking the truth in love together, we grow up. It's where your name actually gets honored. It's where the particulars of your life are colored by the truth. It's where you're known by someone and the truth is lovingly spoken into the details. It's how all those truths that we're always singing about, how we're always hearing about, reading about, how they actually connect to your anxieties today or your bitterness yesterday or your sick child tomorrow. It's that connection where the body of Christ really shines. When we're doing that, the church really shines. When people can see that happening, nobody can just come in and say, oh, they're just doing church. Which is one of the disconnects that I think can often keep people away from church, or if they come, that they can feel there's something really wrong going on there when they can come and leave and no one can really take the time to get to know them or seek to find out how they're going with God. And so as good as, you know, everything may have been, it may have felt nice, it may have looked nice, but there's something that wasn't quite working there. But if I think we're all honest, there are a lot of challenges to us in actually doing this. This is something that doesn't actually come naturally to a lot of us. There are a lot of challenges, and I've thought of four of them. If you have more, please come up and chat to me afterwards or in question time about what you think. But I've come up with four that I think may be challenges for us today. Just be thinking as we go through, which one of these is your biggest challenge in actually helping you do this? So the first one, individualism. In Australia, obviously, we are a highly individualistic culture. If there's a problem, our first thought is usually, how can I fix this? Not, how can the community fix me or help me? Or how can I help the community with this? The answer usually that we come up with has to be something I can do alone, not something that I can get help with, which is rarely often actually the most helpful thing. Second one, only relying on experts. When you're struggling, your first thought, maybe I need to speak to a pastor about this, which is fine, I think that's healthy, but if you only ever think I need to speak to a pastor about this, if I'm struggling with my faith or my sin, and your only thought is I need to speak to an expert, then I think Ephesians 4 says to us something's not quite right there, because we're all in this together. We all are speaking the truth in love into one another's lives. When the church is healthy and working properly, we're all doing that for one another, not just relying on people who aren't knuckleheads like us. So we're not just putting all of our spiritual eggs into one basket, which is the pastors. The third one, avoiding vulnerability. So again, in Australian culture, this is kind of a default for us. Often we get locked into small talk, often lack of openness. And, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with small talk. We kind of need ways into conversation or into relating with people. But if we consistently fail to actually go beyond that, to actually share anything of our life or our heart with others, then there's an issue there. There's something a little bit wrong with that picture. Because the Bible and the work of the Spirit, we've seen it all through this passage, it definitely calls us to push back on these defaults, as comfortable as they may be, because they're actually toxic for the body of Christ growing if we're never actually sharing what we really like, who we really are with other people. And the fourth one, apathy, which is also an Aussie cultural thing. Apathy also is usually our default. If there's a problem in our spiritual life, we kind of just drifting along, we tend to think, oh, she'll be right. It'll figure itself out. I won't really worry too much about that one. It's kind of more of a passive take on life. But Ephesians 4 kind of gives us a picture of always actually being on the front foot, not being passive, not being careless. And if we read Ephesians 4, our first thought is, that just sounds like a lot of work. It sounds quite hard. Then apathy might be the one for you. So what would it actually look like for you to be pushing back against that this week? What would it look like for you to actually not be giving in to these things, whatever it is for you, in doing this one another, in doing this speaking the truth in love? So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to chat to the person next to you or just jot it down, whatever you're comfortable with. Just think about those four. Think about what they are for you. Just have a chat, have a jot, whatever works for you. I'll come back in a couple of minutes. Okay, I hope that was helpful for you. You can continue those conversations over dinner in a half or so. I think they're all worth pushing back on, not just being aware of. So it is helpful having a chat about those things in the coming week as well. But this all means, when the person up the front actually finishes, when the final song is sung, when the MC comes up, wraps things up, it might feel like, you're at the movies, there's kind of the credits are rolling, the lights are coming back on, you're going back from passive to active, you're having to go back to reality. And at that moment, it can be tempting to just think, how can I duck out of this room as quickly as possible? But if that's you, I think Ephesians 4 would say to you, you're actually leaving before a lot of the key work of the Spirit actually even starts. But when you do stay and you lean in to say hi to someone, and you might not actually feel like you know how to take a step forward with this whole one anothering thing, I've got one idea. If you actually do find that a difficult thing. So whenever you're hearing the Word of God, whether you're reading it, whether you're listening to it, whatever that looks like for you, whenever you're hearing the Word of God, be thinking this: what's one thing in God's Word that's connecting with one part of my life? What's one thing in God's Word that's connecting with one part of my life? Now, it might actually sound too simple, but I actually think there's a lot in it, and it takes a lot of practice to actually do it naturally, I think. Because so often, when we're listening to God's Word, or when we're reading it even, we can go into kind of passive mode just to do what we need to do. We can't actually hear God's Word speaking personally into our life, into the particulars of our life. And all the stuff in God's Word, it might be just uploading to the cloud, but not actually speaking to where we're at. But if you're thinking, what's one part of God's Word that can connect with one part of my life? We can't just be thinking in theory. But we'll be thinking, what's one thing I've heard here that reminds me that I actually need to repent of that? I actually need to change that behavior in my life. Or one area of my life that I'm actually not doing something I should be doing, or I am doing something that I shouldn't. Or one area where actually I think, by God's grace, He's actually growing me in this area. And then who's one person you can be talking to about that? So if God's Word says to you, I've kind of been avoiding this person because there are some things I don't want to have to face when I talk to them, but actually God's Word is calling me to take the initiative out of love towards them, all this part of my life doesn't line up with a part of God's Word. I've suspected that for a while, but I actually need to do something about that because I've been ignoring it. Why would you only ever imagine you have to work that out in your own space, in your own time, in your own heart? What would it actually look like to share that with a brother or sister to try out this one anothering thing? But if that kind of sounds too simple, just one thing, why only one thing? If you think about the last time when God's Word actually changed something in your life, I think if you're honest about that, then one thing might, if you're anything like me, it might actually seem like quite a lot. But I realize that for most of us, most of the time, this actually can't usually happen very well straight after church. There is too much going on, too many people to catch. But that actually means we need to find time throughout the week, because I think this is just so important in our lives. So where can you find that hour for coffee, for catching up with someone? Where can you find that 20 minutes to call someone or Zoom them? Because we need to have the space in our relationships for encouragement, for warning, for comforting, for helping one another. And of course, this can happen in preaching, in our Bible reading at home, in community groups. But I think the bottom line is, we need spaces where we are actually close enough, where we're actually honest enough, where we actually trust people enough to talk about the things that we need to repent of, to the things that we need prayer for, and to actually share about the spaces in our life where God's Word is speaking right into the details. We need to be speaking about that with one another, because I think that's actually where the gold really is in all of this stuff. And the reality is, perfectly honestly, I wouldn't be half the person I am right now if it wasn't for this whole one anothering thing, or whatever you want to call it, people speaking the truth in love into my life. A brother sitting with me when I was at the deepest point of depression and doubt, and listening to everything I said, then walking me slowly through pictures of what God's goodness and what faith actually looks like. A sister seeing me at a place where I was hoping in the wrong things and being gentle and teasing that out and actually speaking truth back into that situation. A brother calling me up on my dismissiveness about any kind of mission. Many brothers listening to me talk about many failings many times and becoming gentler and not firmer. And then praying for me. And in God's grace, I could go on and on, because God has blessed me with many brothers and sisters who have given me much more grace than I deserve, and that's made me a much better person than I would have been otherwise. God's used it time and time again to change me. One anothering, it's where everything we've been looking at in these last 10 weeks, it actually comes together. It's where the repentance, it's where the prayer, it's where the Word of God, the fruit of the gospel at work in our lives, this is where they actually meet. This is where they actually thrive. In every one of us speaking the truth into one another's lives, that's where we actually look like Jesus. It's where the truth actually gets our name on it. It's where the church really shines. It's what we all need to grow. And so let me pray for that right now. This would be a reality. This would actually be the case for every one of us tonight. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, please be creating us as a people who are beautiful, who are loving, who are wise, who are piercing, who are caring, and who are honest with one another. Please be binding us together in love as your body, because we do long for your word, not just to be something that's spoken and is heard and is trusted in, but actually is working itself out in relationship and conversation in every one of our lives. And in this, please be creating in us every good thing in Christ and for Christ. Amen.